friends, and welcome back to another very exciting episode of Coffee and Wrestling, a wrestling podcast with your hosts, Jamie and Mark. And unfortunately, due to some technical difficulties, we were not here last week, but so excited to be back. So much to talk about. Let's just go ahead and start it off with an interesting promo from The Rock this week.
Yeah. Very highly criticized both on the outside and the inside of pro wrestling. The Rock had about 20 minutes on SmackDown?
20 plus minutes. It was pushing 30, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, classic heel Rock comes out in the $2,000, you know, vest, comes
of course,
out in the sunglasses.
The Versace.
The better than you, you know.
Shtick,
real good.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody loved The Rock back then, and does a throwback to when he used to play his guitar. Or not
right.
play his guitar, but he had somebody play guitar, and he would sing stupid-ass jabroni songs.
Classics, yeah.
Which I feel, and you know, we were kids and it was new and fresh. It was good. It was when he was in his prime. This time, not so much.
I mean, I hate to play this as an insult, because what I'm going to refer to The Rock's promo as is definitely not a bad thing. But when you think of it this way, it's horrible. The Rock's promo with that song and everything sounded like a bad episode of Whose Line Is It Anyways?
It really did.
Like, it had that rhyme with it, the way it just was like,
but at least on
a bad Ryan
anyway,
style
they had a little
song.
Bit better timing, because The Rock, I don't know, I don't think it was the guys playing the music, but The Rock couldn't quite get that simple beat that was going with like this little bluesy rhythm they were coming with the microphones and the acoustic guitar, and you could tell the whoever was playing the music was trying. They were like trying to throw some ad libs in there, and it didn't quite work.
It almost seemed like Rock hadn't really read the lines.
I think Rock just make it up on the spot. I mean, that's what
he had
to do
a
before.
Tablet.
Did he?
Yeah, he had a tablet, and there were words on it.
I guess it's better than writing words on the inside of your arm on a permanent with a permanent marker.
Much better. But yeah, he was reading off a tablet.
Okay, that I didn't realize.
So some of the things he said, like the gun reference that I didn't understand.
Ja Morant.
Yeah,
which I thought was in very poor taste when I heard it.
Yeah, I didn't understand it, but I was just like, doesn't seem.
To give you a breakdown, I know I mentioned it. Ja Morant is a basketball player on the Memphis Grizzlies.
Okay.
Basketball team, and they were in Memphis. He's been under scrutiny because he's had a lot of trouble with weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
And he's constantly.
Like swords?
Yeah. No, he would be nowhere near in as much trouble if he was brandishing swords on his Instagram live feed.
Yeah.
when he has pretty sure he has something that's stating he's not allowed to have any firearms.
Okay.
So when you're, you know, a high profile basketball player and you're on Instagram pointing a handgun at your camera.
Okay.
You know,
maybe like a convicted
in
felon.
In a vehicle. So kind of out of poor taste reference from The Rock.
Yeah, it was like he said it and then he laughed and he was like, sorry, my man. Like,
yeah, we're with you. Like,
it legitimately seemed like he didn't realize he was going to be making that joke until he said it.
Right.
And then was like, oh man. So it was like somebody else clearly wrote this, threw it up on the iPad. He was like, yeah, I've done enough improv for, you know, 20 something years. Like, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird.
It did feel a little canned.
I
mean, it did feel like a Rock promo. Everything was kind of a throwback to what he used to do when he was the peak Rock physique. But I just, it felt like he watched a bunch of his old stuff and just pulled from that. And it felt a little bit more forced than it needed to be.
It did, yeah.
It was so unnecessary. And then there's been a lot of criticism that, well, how come The Rock can go out there, Mr. Part-Timer, and be able to say these outlandish things and say these things that
it's on the board.
A little bit off kilter and that can do this for 20 minutes into his own individual self.
A quarter
nobody else
of
came
the SmackDown
out.
Show.
No, yeah, nobody
was
ended
Rock.
Up coming out. No other, like, Cody Rhodes didn't make an appearance on the TitanTron.
No.
Roman didn't come out to sit next to him. It was just The Rock running his yap for 20 minutes, which he's good at. It felt unnecessary. I feel like they're treading water. You know, a few weeks before WrestleMania.
Trying to make it seem relevant and exciting. And
this always happens with, like, especially the bigger the event is, the lead up to that event has always, like, it's always been kind of a drag.
Mm-hmm.
Because you already have your stories developed. You have your Rock, Roman, Cody, and Seth match set up. You already have your
one.
Cody and Roman match set up. You already have your Seth and Drew match set up.
Right.
So all of your players in this story have already found their place.
Right.
And now you're just
They're trying to sell it to you.
You're trying to, well, I mean, they're,
that's what it feels like, you know? They're at
the
fluff stage.
They're at the, well, we've given you everything we've got. We've sold as much as we can. Mm-hmm. So now we're just trying to eke out the last few bits of entertainment.
Yeah.
To try and convince you that this is worth watching. And I think at this point, if you haven't decided whether this storyline was is worth watching or not,
right?
I feel like you've missed the mark.
Missed
your mark, or you're already on board.
No, I 100% agree. I'm kind of on the opposite side. The more they do with it, the less I'm interested in it.
I'm still interested in what's going to happen in the matches and WrestleMania main events, but I can echo what you're talking about, because I do feel like, okay, you're throwing it at me, and I'm good. Like, I got it. Let some of these other stories flourish. You didn't need to put a 20-minute segment of The Rock just talking shit to Cody Rhodes and bringing up his mom.
Yeah, when he has a tag team match the night one.
And not just that, you could have done that in a minute and a half promo.
You could have.
On a social media post.
I was going to say, you could have done that on Twitter, live, or something. Like, it didn't need to be a quarter of SmackDown.
Right, you could have had him cut a 2-minute stupid song. And then cut something about his mom, and I'm gonna have blood.
Show
on his
that
belt
on show that on SmackDown.
Whisper, "You're welcome," and you know, he could have just done it so much better. And then, of course, I'm saying this as I'm looking at what they had for both Raw and SmackDown. They did have a lot of really young talent on both shows this week.
Yeah,
but
which is good. That's what they need. But
it just felt like you could have given more to Bayley and Damage Control.
I wish
you could have given more.
I wish they would have
to. The 6-man tag match that they're promoting
but
for WrestleMania.
But really, as weird as this is, I'm surprised I have to say this. You could have given more to Cody versus Roman.
Mm.
That is supposed to be the absolute highest of high talking point.
Right. It doesn't matter the tag match.
But
the tag
it's
match
not.
Is going to win. It's just going to set the stipulation for the main event.
Yeah. Week. And it's going to go one of two ways. Either there's going to be, what do they call it, bloodline rules or no bloodline rules. And I feel like...
Yeah, because that really matters.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I feel like even if Cody and Seth do win, that they're still going to pull something.
Of course they are. Of course they are. It's the bloodline. It's that's what they do. That's what they're famous for. It's just this is...
And it would be silly for them not to pull something like that. Cody has to win after they pull some bloodline shit. You can't come in and then be like, well, okay, you won fair and square. We're not going to interfere in this match at all.
Right.
Wink, you know, wink.
None of us had our fingers crossed when we made this
exactly,
promise.
Yeah.
I mean, even...
And then Cody come and win like that? Like, that won't feel right. There has to be an interference, and Cody still wins.
Well, I mean, they even did that with the Tribal Rules match between Roman and Jay. You know, they touted all of this, like...
Yep.
Tribal rules shit and the elders.
No interference.
And
no interference.
It's a one-on-one. It's a a fight about honor, a fight about blood. And I mean, they even did the whole shtick of when they signed the contract. They like, if I remember right, they like shook hands or whatever, like made it kind of very respectful. And then come, the match, everybody jumped in and did exactly what they did anyways. And the bloodline rules went out the window. The elders, I'm sure, were a little bit upset. And, we're right back at
the elders.
Roman getting his championship again because he got interference with the bloodline. So that begs the question, if more than likely the same outcome of the bloodline getting involved night two, number one, is night one's victory on either side really going to matter? And if it does, who's going to win then?
Night one. I think ultimately, no, it's not going to matter. I think Cody and Seth are more than likely going to win.
Mm.
People are going to be all excited about it. Wow, I can't believe there's going to be no bloodline interference in this match. And then I personally think something's going to happen with interference, but Cody's still going to pull it off.
Okay.
At least wishful thinking, because I say this every pay-per-view, and I really mean it this time. How many more Roman matches can we watch?
Well, according to Cody, this is going to be his last match, at least with this title. I'm kind of hoping so, just so we have a little bit more room open up for some extra storylines, because the bloodline has taken up such a large portion of the WWE for the vast past 2 to 3 years.
Yes.
But with that, there has been other smaller storylines. We've now had Jimmy Uso has accepted Jey Uso's challenge for his WrestleMania match.
Oh, there's something I'm really excited
Jimmy
for.
Jimmy versus Jey, brother versus brother at Mania 40.
Uso versus Uso.
Now, they had been talked about, they've talked about this before, that the ultimate goal for the Usos would be a brother versus brother match at Mania.
And it's been leading up for this forever. Feels
yeah,
right.
I mean, yeah, it's ever since Jay's been kind of ostracized from the bloodline. I mean, but beyond who's going to win this match, I have, honest to God, at this point sitting here, I have no idea who's going to win this match. Honest to God, couldn't think, you put a gun to my head, couldn't think of which one's going to win. I'm more interested in, okay, if Jay wins, does that mean Jimmy's going to finally realize all the wrong things that Roman's done to him and how badly he's treated him and all these other things?
I don't know. I hope.
To the face side?
Yeah.
Or is Jay going to get the loss? And he's going to say, well, you know what? My big brother was right. He's been taking care of me. And, you know, without him, you know, I can't be at my best because he's a part of me. He's my twin. You know, he's more than just a brother. He is part of me.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's likely there may be no more bloodline after WrestleMania.
I know there's going to be any bloodline. But, I mean, are the Usos going to get back together? Or are they going to splinter and they're going to be done for still a little bit longer and each one of them gets their own singles run?
I kind of like that. Jay's run's been fun.
Yeah, and Jimmy really hasn't had much of a singles run. He's been in the bloodline and had singles matches here and there. But nothing like substantial. It doesn't have any, like anything that he's been involved with as a singles competitor.
Especially with like a title shot like Jay's gotten recently. Right. Thanks a lot, Jimmy.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, he's had some big caliber singles matches. I think it would be great to see Jimmy being able to do singles matches like that too. But of course, if they come back together, it's going to be legendary.
Right. And I feel like, and I know he's been active on social media about it, but I feel like you kind of have to bring Rikishi back into the fold. At least for WrestleMania.
You should. I feel like it's been in something that inevitably was meant to happen. So for this to happen like that.
Especially with the bloodline being as large as it is. And I'm wondering if they're going to, not to go back to The Rock, Roman, Cody, and Seth. But I'm wondering if they're going to bring any of the elders into the fold for this. Like to make it, if this is the final like crescendo for the bloodline. This is like the end of it. This is the, where the dynasty finally comes to an end and the walls come crumbling down and the Cody Rhodes kingdom rises from the ashes. I mean, it would make sense to bring them in. So I'm really kind of hoping we're going to see like Rikishi come in and just kind of be at ringside and maybe be a part of the match a little bit. Maybe not like walk in and, you know, do the famous or not the famous or where he drops his ass on somebody, but you know what I mean? Like he's on the side where, you know, Jimmy's beating the hell out of Jay with something illegal while the ref's down. And Rikishi just kind of looks at him and he's, you know, what are you doing, son?
I mean, wouldn't it be best case scenario if The Rock was doing something similar and then his, like he got close to, oh, hey mom, you know, cause he loves his mom. So of course she's going to be there and she smacks the shit out of The Rock.
Oh, it'd be great.
Like, knowing in real life that he is the biggest mama's boy in the world.
Yeah.
That would be so funny. Like, I'm disappointed in you because of the way that you talked about Cody's mom.
Another man's mom. Yeah. How dare you? Imagine if he would have been saying those horrible things about you, about me. I mean, yeah, there's so much they could do with this. I'm just afraid that they're going to just stifle it for, you know,
hopefully not.
Rock.
Hopefully not. And hopefully Rock and Roman.
I'm a Rock hater in 2024.
I know, like my dude, for real. But hopefully Rock and Roman don't just win and they're like, yep, the rules like always apply, because that doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it does. It's the bloodline. Jay loses. Is that the justification? Cody loses. Seth ends up losing to Drew McIntyre. Somehow Drew McIntyre is adopted into the bloodline. Damian Priest cashes in his briefcase and becomes part of the bloodline because I don't know what else he's doing with that goddamn briefcase.
I don't know. He keeps teasing he's going to do something, but
because Money in the Bank's here in a couple months, isn't it?
Like July?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's running out of time.
Desperately.
And he has a championship match to defend his tag titles with Finn Balor on WrestleMania.
Right.
And he's going against, what, five other tag teams? Is it a ladder match? I think it's a ladder match, isn't it?
I think it's a ladder match, too. Yeah.
That's going to be a 12-man
I'm kind of excited about
tag
that.
Team match,
ladder match?
Ladder match, that's going to be insanity.
And how Nick
Aldis?
Thank you. I combined them.
Nick Aldis
and Adam Pearce came together to shoot that awesome promo for like the concept that they came up with.
It was
which
really well
I guess
put
technically
together.
Our truth came up with, but it was very, very well put together. I'm super excited to see how this is going to end.
Well, and I think this is, and we've talked about this, I think this is like the start of seeing that UFC flair get moved into WWE to where they've got
hyping it
better
up and,
camera angles. They've got better ways of shooting things. The like massive amounts of social media content they've come up with, all those press conferences they've had.
It's working.
It's really, really working. And this was one of them where they had different camera angles. They had these two staring at, you know, the hard cam the entire time. and you were able to get these other angles to give it that little bit of flair, to give it that importance. They had the music. They both had something important to say about it, and it was really well
put
together.
It got me hyped for it, really.
Yeah, it really did. Like,
I was like, damn, they put together one package, and I'm actually really excited for this match. It feels like something AEW would do.
Well, it's, you know, funny, with that ladder match aspect right now as well. But no, it's I'm really excited for this. Was, we were complaining, I know we didn't do anything last week, but 2 weeks ago, about how they really haven't hyped up a lot of matches. They haven't added any previous to this recording. There's like at least five per day. I think I think night two has six and night one has five as of right now. So, so it's already a pretty stacked card.
I'm pretty sure it was 7-7 last year.
I believe.
So
you're
right there. To have in all of the matches, and we're, what, 3 weeks?
3 weeks, yes.
Less than 3 weeks away, so.
I mean, this six-man tag match, it's going to be good. You obviously have Damian Priest, Finn Balor. And honest to God, there's so much confusion as to who's in the contentionship of this match.
Yeah, it's so hard to tell.
DIY, the Creed Brothers, Awesome Truth, Indus Share, the New Day, Alpha Academy. This past week, we had two matches that had something to do with it between Legado del Fantasma and LWO, as well as New Catch Republic and Pretty Deadly. But their match, or bracket one, I don't even understand
who's
involved.
It's kind of confusing.
There's a lot of teams. I didn't realize there was this many tag teams in WWE, and on the male side at least.
I know, right? They're really coming out of nowhere. And hey, real quick, as weird as it is, and as much as hate as I gave that match, the Legado del Fantasma versus LWO match was actually really good.
It was probably one of the better matches on SmackDown.
It was actually really good. Like,
it started off a little slow. The crowd was not with it.
They were not with it, and they never were, even though I was like, did they just see that?
The last 5 minutes they did. The last 5 minutes they got into it, but you couldn't blame them because the way they ended it was great.
It was four guys that are really trying hard, and it showed. And Joaquin is just my dude.
He's something else. He's got something.
Absolutely love him.
He's the one that does like the springboard slingshot off the middle rope.
Yeah.
You know, as a spring, you know, springboard to the outside of the ring.
And Shinfo, we've talked about this before. Believe it or not, he actually created one version of the ROH logo when he was
a kid.
That's
right. I do remember you telling me that.
Yeah, there was a contest for it and he actually won. But I mean, long story short, there's a lot of great teams in here. But what does it matter if at the end of the match at WrestleMania, at the top of, I mean, are they doing a, they're doing, it's a ladder match. At the top of the ladder, grabbing onto those tag team belts, if it is not R-Truth, then what did we do this for?
But which set is he going to grab? There's been this rumor and speculation. I know the Four Side of the Ring podcast was talking about on X that,
they
by the
threw
way,
out
follow
a crazy...
us at CAW Wrestling Pod.
And follow Four Sides of the Ring. Those guys are cool.
Great,
but
great podcast.
They threw something crazy out there, and I was like, holy shit, that's awesome. Is what if there were two guys up there, one
from
grabbed one belt, one grabbed the other, and they fell.
At the same time. Pulled a Dave Bautista, John Cena, and a Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
both hit the ground at the same time, both holding separate belts, both part of separate tag teams.
I love it.
Just happened to be the one that grabbed the Raw is on Raw, the one that grabbed the SmackDowns on SmackDown. Well, I mean, the GMs come out like, you know, I'd really like to have a tag title on my show. I'd like to have a tag title on my show. Well, here we go. We're splitting the titles.
Yeah,
I think it's a perfect opportunity.
Should.
I think it's a perfect opportunity. And I think it's almost like the writing is on the wall with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you have six teams in a ladder match for these titles.
Right.
And I mean, they could even make that as a stipulation. You know, it's not just one set of titles. We're separating the titles so you can either get one or both of the titles. And I think that'd be a good way to split the titles up finally.
I think
finally
so too.
Have, you know, two different tag teams that are worth their weight in gold.
Yeah, and a justified reason without doing, you know, a bunch of unnecessary work
without,
to get there.
Well, without Paul Levesque just coming out and say, well, we're going to split these now. Hooray.
Exactly.
You know,
you're on this side. You're on this side.
We're on one set to Finn and Damian, and we're going to have a tournament for the other set. And it's just
no,
like,
I hope Judgment Day walks away with nothing. And like, and that's not disrespectful in like any circumstances.
Oh, I 100%
I
is.
100% two new tag teams just take it.
So the Awesome Truth?
Awesome
wins
Truth.
Both?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm totally into that. Awesome Truth, I feel like, should definitely win one. I'm excited to see where Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne are going to go because I really like them.
I could see you wanting to say Butch there.
I know. I was like, what is his name?
There's only one Butcher.
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited to see what's going to happen with them, but I'm still at that point because I haven't watched enough with Tyler Bate. He's a little bit awkward to me.
Right,
so
he was
still
on NXT UK for a long time,
yeah.
So he didn't really get an exposure to a lot of the American audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys knew that. We're from America.
Oh, yeah. If you didn't know, we're from Florida.
That you could almost tell that we're not from. I pride myself in not having near Southern drawl.
Don't blame us because we're from Florida.
Just blame Florida. But yeah, I think that'd be a good way to split the titles. Either way, whoever is in this match come WrestleMania, it's going to be a good time. There's going to be so much going on. We're going to miss more than we're probably going to see. But honestly, it's one of the matches I'm more excited for.
It's going to be one of those very quick, fast-paced, super exciting, lots of spots moves.
Right.
Which is fun for like everything else that they have on the card. It's a fun way to like break everything up and bring the excitement super high.
One last note about WWE before we move on to AEW. There's been an announcement that Shayna Baszler has been announced for Josh Barnett's Bloodsport X.
Yeah.
Apparently
this
he
is
was
awesome.
It was a personal request from Josh Barnett to Triple H to bring her onto the show.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I believe, the second time we're seeing a cross promotional I guess between WWE and another promotion.
Yep,
Shinsuke went over to Pro Wrestling Noah.
Yep.
He's also had a video was at an MJPW event. And now Shayna Baszler going to GCW.
This is huge.
This is
was
awesome.
Something for years. I mean, I can't remember the last time that WWE was willing to work with any other promotion than basically just Impact bringing in stars from there, like
Mickey James or Jordan Grace in the Royal Rumble this past year.
But never to like really work together, just like surprise entrances and stuff.
Right.
But like, this is huge.
I mean, it really goes to show how highly regarded Shayna is in the pro wrestling MMA world.
Yeah.
And that maybe this is a new door that is opening, a new forbidden door, the ultimate forbidden door. We might see WWE, AEW.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with sending your wrestlers over to a different promotion to promote?
I'm not saying have a forbidden door between WWE and AEW.
Why not?
But maybe send
that would be
Will Ospreay over to WWE to finally have that match with Seth Rollins. Maybe send Kenny Omega to have the final knockdown drag out with Roman Reigns that everybody wants to happen. You know what I mean? But then you got to get into the politics of, is WWE going to really let their wrestler lose to the quote unquote competition that glorified t-shirt company?
You do it the right way. You do it like NJPW and AEW do it. You send your guy my way, he's going to lose. I send my guy your way, he's going to lose.
Or you just do what they've been doing recently and just wait till somebody's contract expires and they just pick him up in the other company. Because Mercedes Moné debuted this week in AEW.
Yes, she
formerly
did.
Formerly known as
Sasha
Banks.
Big business, huh?
Formerly signed to NJPW, is officially All Elite.
I don't know where Tony Khan got enough cash to sign Okada, Will Ospreay, and Mercedes
in
the same month.
He is serious money.
Wow.
I bet
Pun intended.
I bet you MJF's contract looks minuscule compared to these guys.
It better be pretty padded.
I mean, Okada's getting, what, $4 million a year?
The rumors I'm hearing Mercedes is getting $3 million.
Well, I mean, they did. The Young Bucks did say that he's got about 12 million reasons to be here at AEW.
Well, I mean, because of course they're going to pick on what everybody else says, which is just goddamn genius, if you ask me. But man, what a week.
The fans are literally writing the ultimate heel storyline.
Yeah, like the more you put on Twitter, the more they're going
to
just take it. Yeah, so I don't know what people are expecting here. You're going to boo the Young Bucks out of doing this?
I mean, we haven't even reacted to the idea that Okada is in AEW.
The idea that Okada's in AEW is mind-blowing. The idea that he's teaming up with the Young Bucks is like, I don't think there's a better storyline in wrestling right now.
Especially with the Continental Classic being involved?
The championship?
Yeah.
This is huge. Like, immediately walks in and already is challenging somebody with a belt, which is like, you know, not something that AEW usually does. But
and not just that, it's
he's asking for Eddie's belt, which
is definitely a hometown hero. Like you're talking about AEW's like sweetheart Eddie Kingston, like
right.
He's the man that everybody is like that is what exemplifies AEW. He has been like, we've been from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs of Eddie Kingston. Like he is a homegrown AEW
talent.
I know he's had Chikara Pro. He's had Ring of Honor.
Yeah, but we've like been love and devoted to Eddie Kingston and seen him, like you said, go through that Continental Classic against all odds. And then even recently in Revolution,
the lowest of
winning
the underdogs.
Against Brian Danielson, winning
the king
his
of
respect,
the bums.
Getting the handshake from Brian,
right?
And Brian telling him, you deserved this.
Right? And then cutting a promo afterwards about how, like, just, it's so good.
Yeah.
And then you're
and then
gonna
Okada's going to come in here and take it?
Right.
Ooh, you want to have some heat?
Especially after, and even what you were
and
talking
we don't
about
even have
between,
to wait till the pay-per-view.
Between Eddie Kingston and Brian Danielson, just Okada and Brian Danielson having that rivalry, and then having Eddie and Brian's having their rivalry.
Right.
So this big trifecta.
Now Will Ospreay with Brian Danielson.
Oh,
like, this stuff is just writing
it's just
itself.
It's popping off in AEW right now.
It's crazy. The fantasy booking is just unreal. And like I said,
Tony's toy box is on fire.
Oh my God. Like, you would think that something like Eddie Kingston versus Okada, like, holy shit, that's going to be on Dynasty. That's going to be one of the main events. No, it's on Dynamite this week.
Well, they are famous for doing, you know, the trifecta
of
matches.
Of course, but just the idea that we don't have to wait. Okada's like, yep, I'm here, and
I want it now.
I'm challenging you for that belt.
I want
like,
it now.
Like, next week.
Right.
That's fucking mind-blowing.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is insane that this week we are getting Adam Copeland versus Christian Cage in an I Quit match with
on
Spike.
On Dynamite?
On Dynamite? Like,
is it Dynamite
it
is. Or is it on Collision?
No, it's on Dynamite. Yeah. This is insane. This is such a crazy time to be a wrestling fan.
It is, and I think it's part of the model of AEW not having a monthly pay-per-view or premium live event.
Yeah.
So you have to put they're trying to put their best foot forward on their weekly.
Yeah, you got to keep your interest.
So you can keep yourself. You can keep people coming back to that, you know, that weekly show, because as of right now, their pay-per-views they're good. Like, I'm not saying they're bad by any means, but they haven't been the best quality for the past couple ones of them. Like, overall, some of the matches that have high buildups, I feel like have been really high buildups and great.
Mm-hmm.
But then they have other matches that are just like, okay, I could have cut out 2/3 of this entire
sure.
card. And,
yeah,
and
this
okay,
could have been a collision match. Or,
right,
yeah.
Right. So I think they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot a little bit by putting all of these high caliber matches, these quote unquote pay-per-view level quality matches
on
their
a Wednesday.
Dynamite or their
yeah,
Collision.
Sure.
But I think it relates to the idea that they're going towards a streaming service. They're going towards more a WWE style of pay-per-view premium live events.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really what a lot of these companies are leaning towards. It's,
right. Also going to go to.
You know, low price monthly subscription. But you don't put 100% into these monthly shows. You put about your 75 to 80%. Which is great for what you pay for.
Exactly.
And it makes you want to come back. It makes you want
to
go
watch the weekly show.
Pay the $10 fee every
yeah.
month, or to pay the $15 honor club or whatever,
right.
whatever it may be.
Exactly.
You know,
they said by the end of the year that they would have a streaming service, you know, established with
right.
AEW. So.
And every company's going towards that.
Basic, well, clearly.
Basic cable is going, will eventually be a thing of the past, or whether it's in the next 5 years, the next 15 years.
Crazy.
And this new model, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to convince the everyday person
mm-hmm.
to spend the $10 to $15 to watch your program.
Right.
By giving them
every night
these premium live events on a monthly
exactly.
or a bi-monthly basis.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think AEW is trying to look at that as saying, okay, well, we're going to have to put these high caliber matches, because it's only going to be a small step from AEW Dynamite to AEW Revolution.
Sure.
Like, the quality is going to go up. But we're really trying to get you on an everyday basis to be a part of this all
of
the time.
Course. Well, and also in keeping the ratings up, so that way they can show the networks too. Like, we can bring people in
right.
by putting the right people on TV.
Right.
Like, you're going to tell me people aren't going to tune in to see Okada wrestle on Wednesday
mm-hmm.
night?
And WWE's doing
Come
something
on.
Very similar with going to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're no longer on you're no longer a syndicated cable show.
Sure.
You're on a on-demand app that you end up paying for individually, you
right?
know? So it's the same idea. It's to where they're giving you the same product for kind of the lesser price, because
mm-hmm.
now you don't have to pay the $70, $80, $90, $100 for a cable package
right.
just to watch USA.
Right.
You can pay the whatever the hell Netflix. What, it's $20 at this point, probably
something like that without commercials.
Without
yeah.
commercials, I mean, you $14 for the ones with commercials, and you get that same product. So
mm-hmm.
they're going to have to dial it down and save that chunk of money they're not making on the $50 they make every month.
Right.
And AEW is already leaning into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're going to have, you know, Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. That's why we're going to have Chris Okada Statlander,
and Eddie. Yeah,
Okada and Eddie.
The
Chris Statler,
fight.
Willow, and
I'm
the
so
House
excited.
Of Black Girls for a street fight. You know what I mean?
It's, the Goos.
They're trying to bring people in. So it's an exciting time to be a professional wrestling fan. But
just during the week, you know?
Yeah, but if you're into that classic, well, I want everything to build up to a pay-per-view, I think we're going to see a lot of that go away. And this is kind of proof in the pudding to where you're getting a lot of pay-per-view quality matches
all the time
on weekly
yeah.
programming. And I mean, we're going to talk about good matches. I got to say, the match of the week, besides probably the upset of the week, which was House of Black versus the Infantry, where the Infantry ended up getting the
congrats
the upset
to
win.
Them.
So they move on in the AEW tag tournament titled
Extravaganza. Yeah, who knows?
But we ended up seeing Bryan Danielson taking on Shibata. Now, this is an interesting. Number one, the match itself was phenomenal.
Exactly what you think it was.
Yeah, but there's a little bit more of a story here. Now, I remember hearing about Shibata the first time. It was right around when he got injured back in, I think it was 2017, 2018.
2017.
I've got it written down, but I don't feel like clicking
over. Yeah, 2017.
He ended up having a match with Okada, and after the match ended up collapsing, there was this big hubbub that it sounded like he was never going to wrestle again. He was supposed to, or he was one of like...
Would he have like an aneurysm or something
was,
after getting kicked in the head?
Subotoma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they said, you have no chance of wrestling ever again.
Right.
A year prior to that, Bryan Danielson,
that clam digger,
as Daniel Bryan in WWE, was told that he has had so many concussions that were untreated that he's never going to be able to wrestle again. So I think it was February of 2017, Bryan Danielson ends up having to retire and hanging up his boots. Shibata the next year ends up hanging up his boots. And then within a few years later, both of them came out of the woodwork like, no, I'm good.
Guess what?
I'm cleared. And they both
and I'm better than ever, which is crazy.
They've been amazing ever since. If you've never seen a Shibata match, go watch him and Wheeler Yuta in a pure match.
Yeah, like, I was going to say the same.
Absolutely amazing.
Daniel Garcia has had some great matches with him.
The man is just phenomenal. And
Orange Cassidy as well.
It was a shame to hear that. I mean, obviously, everybody's familiar with Bryan Danielson.
Mm-hmm.
He had a huge run in WWE. Ring of Honor is an absolute legend, borderline Hall of Fame, if not a Hall of Fame
of course.
Worthy. Now he's doing an entirely new stint in AEW and making a whole new name for him. Shibata is like, he on the other side of the world. And that is a Bryan Danielson on the other side of the
yeah,
world. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
For sure.
So these two coming into a clash and at a head with the history of just who they are, with the idea that they were both supposed to retire at a very younger age than they should have. And
with a similar wrestling style, too.
And they both went to AEW to finish out their careers.
Right.
It's just a
yeah,
cool
Shibata
dynamic.
Said he's
going to
retire with AEW.
And this match was a phenomenal match. Like,
yeah, it was everything you'd want and so, 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 so much more. Bryan came out of this thing wrecked. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Bloody. Bruised.
Bruised his whole, the whole, what is this right here? Is that your traps?
Your traps and your clavicle just raw.
Just
a hamburger.
Purple.
Chops just for days.
And they legitimately hit people. You know, these are the times when Mark and I are laughing and we're just like, tell me wrestling's fake right now.
Yeah, tell me.
When Shibata and Bryan Danielson are going blow for blow, hitting each other as hard as they can. This is fake.
Crisscross applesauce position.
Crisscross applesauce. Hands in your lap.
They were not keeping their hands to themselves. It was a phenomenal match.
It was so much fun. Bryan did the nice guy thing afterwards like he has been. He won the match, which I think is a good forward progression for Bryan Danielson with this huge match against Will Ospreay coming up. But he won the match, but he celebrated Shibata and really was like, you know, let's give him his moment.
It's almost like him losing to Eddie.
Humbled him. Yeah.
And it turned him to where he's no longer heel as much.
Right.
Like, he's still as cocky as ever, but he's not as bad.
He's taking the last couple months of his career and really putting other people over.
Honestly, to be 100% serious, I actually have to take that statement back. I think it was when he lost to Zack Sabre Jr. is when it really like
that's true. When he finally told him that he was the best technical in the world.
When he got rid of that moniker, he has been getting nothing but losses ever since.
Yeah, but he won against Shibata.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
But still a respectful win.
Right.
When normally he would kick his fucking head in and, you know, like do all these crazy things and roll out of the ring and be like, yep, I won.
Right.
He took the moment to celebrate Shibata, which worked out really well because later on when Bryan and Claudio needed some help, Shibata came to the rescue.
Yes.
Meaning he is at the very least an ally. I don't know if that means he's going to be a part of the group, but just the idea of even those three plus Jon Moxley working together and again, right. Wheeler down the road, which is kind of funny. We were just
still
talking
injured.
About that.
Yeah, we're still injured.
Wheeler could be working with Shibata now.
Oh, that'd be insane.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Or there could be some trifling in between Blackpool.
Yeah, like what
members.
The hell did you do while I was gone? Like,
right.
I was gone for, you know,
very
this,
reminiscent of
this many
and
weeks and you replaced me. Like, what the hell? But there's a lot of potential there. So that was really fun. Collision was a really just great show. Consistently great show has been the last couple of weeks.
Wrestling this week was honestly pretty damn decent.
Fun all around.
Raw. I mean, there was a lot of get rid of the Rock promo and that Cody Rhodes promo because they said nothing new. But the wrestling was solid. The idea that both AEW and WWE are having a tag team tournament for tag team titles, one
sure.
being vacated, one's having a match at the biggest stage in all of professional wrestling.
All of professional wrestling.
It's just, it really is. They had a great, there was a really good week in professional wrestling.
It really was.
All the way around.
It really was. I have to say, second, the mark of the week, that Takeshita and Commander match, just
oh,
up
yeah.
and up and up. I hope Commander's okay because he was supposed to have a match with, was it Pac?
I don't remember.
I can't
who
remember.
Was to
Commander was supposed to have another match, but hopefully he's good. That was so good. Like I said, the LWO Legado del Fantasma. There was just like so many matches that just really crept up that weren't
right.
like the highlight of the week, but like came through really well. And I really loved
ones
that.
That you don't expect them to be, but then when you
yeah.
watch them, you're like, wow. Because we even sat down and were like, well, all right, well, we got to go back and, you know, we just go back and rewatch a couple of things, make sure we're fresh on a couple of matches, you know, things that we missed. And we ended up missing that one. And when we put it on, it was like, you know, all right, we'll put this one on and make sure we watch everything. And by the time we were done, we're like, wow, these four young guys really put on a hell of a show.
Yeah, for sure. And Commander and Takeshita, again, was nothing
Same
to
thing.
Skip over.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all. It might seem like it because you might not be so familiar with them, but it was by far some of the best professional wrestling on
for real.
TV this
and
week.
Do yourself a favor, but it's just so crazy to see like such young talent that comes from literally the complete opposite sides of the world.
Right.
You've got, you know, Mexico and Japan with two different styles, two different guys coming together and like effortlessly. I don't know if they've ever wrestled each other, but it sure seems like they have. But yeah, just all around wrestling, it's just been a great week.
2024 has been great for wrestling.
It's been phenomenal. And even in ROH, there is a women's television championship, I believe is what they have a tournament
the
going
ROH
on
women's
for.
TV championship.
It's coming down to Red Velvet and Queen Aminata, who put out an awesome promo this week. So
they've really done a great job with her when she did a couple matches in AEW. And ever since then, she has been on a rocket ship
yeah.
in ROH.
I think she's undefeated in ROH.
I believe you might be right.
Yeah.
But
she's killing it. I love it.
But the crowd, the first time they had her on AEW programming these couple weeks ago, maybe not the first time, but the crowd loved her.
She's
like,
got something there.
Loved her for
yeah.
some reason. They sunk
she's
her
charismatic,
teeth in.
You know?
And she is. She's real good. And with, it, I don't know, like again, more young talent, more up-and-coming people. I mean, even
yeah.
Red Velvet's, she's not, I don't want to say young, she's not young, but she's been in AEW for a little bit.
She hasn't gotten as much of a singles push, so this is a good opportunity for her, too.
Right. But, I mean, imagine how good it would be to put somebody like Queen Aminata with that belt.
That's huge. Again, young talent, somebody that nobody really knew a lot about, who has
right.
been working their ass off, but also great representation. Like, she talks about, like, in her promo, there was nobody from Africa who was a women's wrestler.
Right.
You know, I want to be that first person that's like, hey, I did this.
Mm-hmm.
I won this. So she's been through a lot of just difficulty in her career.
And yeah,
I'm so excited
especially
for her.
Coming from a country that's not predominantly pro wrestling centric.
Yeah.
You know, usually you've got your Mexico, your United States, Japan, you know,
mm-hmm.
your European
You're like default
scene.
Countries.
And
that
I'm
are
not
just
saying there's not scenes in Africa. There's not scene. I mean, you've got that one, I don't even group of individuals that
oh,
are in
phenomenal.
Another country
Is that Uganda?
That, yeah. They wrestle in literally mud, but they're doing like shows, you know, to the best of their abilities with ropes and, you know,
Canadian destroyers,
yeah,
like Falcon arrows,
they,
and they don't
they
even
got
have
a
ropes.
Passion for it, and they're just absolutely hammering it out and doing what they can and having fun with it.
If you love it and you're having fun with
oh,
it,
yeah.
like you can tell it's so low. I don't even know. You can just feel that energy, and that's what I think people are seeing in Queen Aminata. Is you feel the love and you feel the passion that she has and the excitement
right.
that she has for it. And you know, a new belt in ROH is great. I think that. They really need to step back with ROH and figure out like what exactly we're doing. There's a lot of
right.
titles that are being shown in AEW programming, but not ROH programming.
It's obviously AEW's farm league.
Sure. But
much like how NXT is with the main roster of WWE, I feel like that they could do better with Ring of Honor and treat it more like an NXT, like a separate entity. But right now it does feel like a training ground for AEW talent, which
it's
is
just
fine.
Weird.
But don't tout it as like the ultimate, you know, this world title means just as much as the AEW world title when you've just combined it with two other titles so that it has an excuse to be on AEW programming. Just give it to somebody in Ring of Honor.
Exactly. Put the next guy over.
Give your top weenie in ROH that title so that, you know, just hand it to Dalton Castle. Let him ride it out for 6 to 9 months.
He's having a rough time over there in ROH.
I need to go back the past couple weeks and figure out exactly what happened. I've heard he has lost his mind.
He has.
That, he's lost custody of the boys to Ty. And Johnny TV.
Yep.
It's a storyline I need to be involved in and I need to understand more. And I just don't have time. There's
it's
just
a
so
lot
much
to keep up
wrestling.
With. But Supercard of Honor is in a couple weeks. It's actually Friday.
I have to catch up. We're watching that, so I have to catch up to know what's going on.
It's the Friday before WrestleMania, so you've got Supercard of Honor and NXT's pay-per-view Friday.
That's it. I'm not doing anything at
WrestleMania
Monday.
WrestleMania night two Sunday.
When you guys hear this, I'll be sitting in a truck. Not building it, I will have my work laptop and I will have every Ring of Honor episode.
Trying to catch up with Dalton and Johnny.
Yes. Right next to my Baka Gaijin stream from a few weeks ago.
Fantastic. Well, friends, I think that's going to do it for us this week.
It's kind of a short one. We're kind of short-minded this week, but
yeah,
we've
got a lot
enjoyed.
To lead up to, a lot more to discuss. AEW is a little weird this week because they're not having Rampage and Collision at the normal time. There is no Collision, and Rampage is happening after AEW Dynamite.
Which is kind of a relief because now that means after SmackDown is done, we will have a Friday night.
Kind of nice.
All Saturday and all Sunday without anything really to do. Professional wrestling wise, so we can get our podcast done a lot earlier.
Yeah,
maybe
don't you worry, friends.
Off.
Yeah, but we hope you love this episode of Coffee and Wrestling. If you have not already followed us on all social media platforms, we are at CAW Wrestling Pod, and you can follow me personally on X. I'm at A Bacon Party.
You can also follow me at Gunk Dudley. Make sure you start your week off right every Monday morning with a fresh episode of Coffee and Wrestling, a wrestling podcast posted at 4 a.m. so it is hot and ready for you when you wake up. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you in the next episode.